my name is Michelle. I'm not exactly sure what my purpose in life is, but I believe it's to glorify God and to give Him praise, and I try to do that every day in whatever situation He has given me for that day. I'm visually impaired, totally blind, in fact, and have been so since birth because I was born 3 months early. My family really doesn't participate in any faith. It wasn't until I was in college that I got saved and gave my life to God, and ever since then, He has been doing just amazing things.
You know what, Michelle, as I hear you share your story, and God bless you for telling us behind the screen a little bit of how you live and where you are, I think you've tapped into what your purpose is, and that's to glorify God. And you probably have a special opportunity to reach people that, frankly, many others could not reach as you share your journey and your story and what God has done in your life. I think sometimes we overcomplicate this thing of what does it mean to find our purpose as though it's hidden somewhere. I think our purpose, as the scripture teaches, is to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, to bring Him glory. And when we do, in the process, through our interactions with people and sharing our story and sharing the gospel, God gets the glory, and frankly, we benefit from it as well as others. And that's really why we're here. So I guess the question we're asking to think about, maybe for these 28 minutes we're together, what is your purpose? Do you know what it is? What's God's purpose for your life? Have you ever gotten to the place where you really understand that? Because if you do, once you do, there's freedom in that. There's meaning in that. Maybe you're still tired at the end of the day, but you're not that weariness that can occur when you're living an unintentional life. So that's what we're focusing on today as we talk about repurposing our life, which really means finding our purpose, living our purpose, so at the end of our life, we can finish strong.
Hi, this is Jason, and I just wanted to start with, this past year, I'm in high school still, and I started changing, the way I've been living, and I wasn't really a good kid my freshman and sophomore year. Then I started opening my eyes and reading the Bible, and my dad was always there to over my shoulder to push me and tell me to do right, I was in the rebellious stage. But now, I've been praying and I've been reading the Bible, and everything in my life is starting to change. Everything is opening up to me, and I can see things way more clear than I have in the past. And I'm trying to reach out to my friends, but the friends that I'm hanging out with aren't very good kids. I really would like help with that and some advice on how to become a better Christian.
Well, listen, we talk about being a better Christian. And I understand what we say, but it's as though, if I just do more, I can get to be a better Christian. And I'll tell you what, it's immersing ourselves in God's intentional love and in the values that we believe. And you just said it. If you're hanging around with people who don't support your values, don't encourage your values, aren't going to raise you up, aren't going to make you a better person, aren't going to help you to grow, then don't hang around with those people. It's like that joke that we've said over the years. You go to your doctor and say, "Doctor, it hurts when I do this." And he says, "Well, then don't do this. Don't touch that if it hurts." And so in a sense, hey, listen, if being around the wrong people, you become like the people you hang around with, then don't hang around with them. Okay, let me go to the phone. I think we'll set this up by taking some calls and then I want to share some things with you from God's Word. Let's go to Aaron in Texas first. Aaron, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What prompted you to call on this topic today?
I'm first of all, I'm married. I have two kids, and we've come into a little rough patch. And I'm an Army veteran, and I'm thinking about rejoining. And I just feel called to do it. I've been praying about it, and it's just been tugging at my heart. And for a while there, I was trying to, to ignore this feeling that I've been called to do this, and it just keeps coming back to me. And I've just finally started listening, to God, and so I've started pursuing, that avenue. And it's just a scary, going through it. I didn't really, I was never deployed or anything, but this day and age is totally different, and mm-hmm. That's a scary thing to do. And
Well, I appreciate your service, and we all do. Thank you for your service to the country. I would ask, though, we can't pass the statement you said we've gone through a rough patch. How does that rough patch attach to now I want to go back into the military?
Well, me and my wife, we're a young couple. And I'm 24. She's 22. We don't have any careers, I guess you would say. I have a career, and I have a good job, and I make good money. But I don't have a career that I'm, passionate about. And I wake up every morning and say, this is God's plan for me.
Mm-hmm. So you feel called to do this, but is your wife in agreement? And how would you characterize the quality of your marriage now?
She's very supportive, like any other spouse, I guess, in the situation. She has her concerns, and as do I, and I, fully understand her concerns.
Yeah.
But she's very supportive, and she knows my passion, and she knows how I feel about it. And she's the one that brought it up and asked if I wanted to pursue getting back into it. And, this rough patch has been tough, but I will say that it has brought our marriage to a point that it is unbreakable and unshakable. We've been through so many, life-changing events just this year I don't think there's anything that could, break through us. And, we started putting God in the center of our relationship, and it's just outstanding to see the improvements on our marriage. And not to say that our marriage was bad before, but it is tremendously better. And she is very supportive of everything that I do. And, she wants to go back to school, and I'm very supportive of that. And I support that. And
it's good.
The military, she could go to school for free. And, it just seems like a good option.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it has its downfalls, being away from family and all that. But
well, I think I would, first of all, Aaron, again, thank you for your service. As a young couple, you're getting started in your marriage. You didn't elaborate on the rough patch, what it was, but that's okay. But I think what you're saying is you've been through it. You've been growing as a couple through this process, getting stronger in your marriage. Remember, points of change, whenever we change and do something, can either be a positive or a negative. Change really puts stress on life. And so I would just encourage you as a young couple to make sure that whatever the issues are in the past, clearly they've been resolved. Clearly you have a good support structure in place. You're on the same page, and you're making this decision knowing that change is going to put some additional stress and pressure, and you're putting accountability and those things in place as you do that. And as you do, that will help strengthen your marriage and your relationship. And so we'll be praying for you, Aaron, as you go, and I hope you keep listening to the radio wherever you go on the planet. We'll be here for you online, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, and God bless you, and thank you for your service. You know, what separates us from a person who is a non-believer, a person listening today who doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe that God is God, he's something out there, but not the creator, not the savior. What separates us is not that we are better than anybody else. We're just people. But the evolutionist, for instance, believes that nothing evolved into everything without anyone for no purpose whatsoever. That's why we're so man-centric. And that gives us a rise in a sense of hopelessness. The CDC reports that since 99 through 14, suicide in this country rose 24%. So if we're more progressive and doing better as a world, as a nation, we wouldn't see that kind of number. And I think part of the sense of not knowing my purpose, not knowing where I'm going and so on, is that we don't plug in to the fact that we've been made with and for a purpose. As a Christian, we believe God created everything out of nothing, allowing man in turn to create things like a good marriage, working hard in our family, building a business, whatever it may be, to give God glory. Our goal should be to be successful in our marriage and our family for God's glory and, frankly, for our benefit. Who wants to live in a marriage that's tough? To work on it in a way that really honors God. And so we're going to get to more calls, but I would encourage you today to think about that in terms of purpose. Why am I here? And love to hear from you.
Hi,
Randy. My name is Sorrow, and I wanted to call and leave a comment about intentional living. About a year ago, I made an intentional decision to change my career. I'm working for a juvenile corrections center, but I work with these adjudicated youth on a daily basis. Your ministry is such a blessing. It's become aware to me that everything does make a big difference as far as what comes out of my mouth. I work directly with these kids. It's very important what is said to them and what is not said to them. I just wanted to thank you for your ministry and let you know that it is definitely making a difference in people's lives.
Hey, thank you for sharing that. We're glad to be here. And as you share your story and the ministry encouragement in your life, that means a lot to me, and I thank you for it. More about purpose and about your family, and in particular your marriage, and living that passionate, purpose-filled life, that intentional life that we call it, in your marriage.
What is the purpose of life? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I'm smiling because we were just talking about 60 seconds to explain the whole purpose of life. I think I can do it. Because the Bible says to us in the final words of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, what's the conclusion of the whole matter, he says? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I think I did it in less than 60 seconds. Intentionally run the decisions that you're making, the actions you're about to take, the thoughts that you're thinking through this question. Does what I'm doing now, what I'm thinking now, what I'm going to do next glorify God? And when we do those things, you know what? That's intentional living. And I actually did it in less than 60 seconds.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
If you didn't catch Intentional Living last week,
whenever I was going through such a hard time with my husband, I just thought I could change him, and I just did everything wrong. And then I started thinking about how much God loves my husband, and seeing him through God's eyes made a big difference, because then I was able to love him.
What does God want to do in your life? Listen to Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson.
Hi, I'm just calling. I was listening to the station. I just want to say ever since I gave my life to God, I got saved about a month already. And I see a big difference in my life already. I mean, just the way that, you know, I think now. Before it was like I didn't care, and now I do. It's just something really great, and I just wanted to call and comment on that. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you for sharing that. There's something that happens when we give our life to Christ. There's not only the spiritual change that occurs, knowing our destiny, knowing our destination, knowing where we're headed, but it also reminds us, as the Holy Spirit is allowed to work in our lives, about our purpose, why we're here, the purpose of our life. And maybe today, as a follower of Christ, you've lost that. And as we talk about this thing of being repurposed, it's not as though, you know, we're going in some opposite direction, but we're understanding that God has an intentional purpose in our life. That's why we're doing this today. By the way, we always appreciate you taking time to share your stories with us. We get a chance to listen and pray with you and then share some of them on the air. So all you have to do is give us a call and share your story on our comment line at 888-888-1717.
Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I want to say thank you for taking that moment to call. Those of you that either called during our West Coast business hours today or yesterday or this week, and said, hey, count me in. I want to be a part of Intentional Living, or went online anytime at theintentionallife.com. I want to say thank you for your support. The lesson this month, the featured lesson on being before doing, just as Kurt said, we need to be clear about who we are in Christ. We got to be someone. We got to understand our identity in Christ before we're ever going to find joy and comfort and purpose in what we do. And so often we live in a world where we do before we become. And the book of Ephesians reminds us of the power of both. If you're not a member, hey, would you come and join us? We'll sign you up. Make sure you start getting access to the exclusive site of all of our teaching online. Your monthly support is going to allow us to continue to do the mission that God's called us to. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or give us a call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2. You're a part of a life-changing ministry. God bless you for your support.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And welcome back here to the Intentional Living Center. We're just kind of laying out all the cards face up on the table here about the reality that we all wrestle at times with feeling like we're burned out, heading in the wrong direction. You might be a believer and you're wrestling. You may not be a believer and you're wrestling. As Christians, we don't lose some of the potential to wrestle with it, finding our purpose and living our purpose for sure. Let me go to Darlene. I think she's wrestling some there in New Mexico today. Darlene, welcome to the program.
Yes. Good afternoon, doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
I am married. We've been married for 36 years, my husband and I.
Mm-hmm.
And the last year and a half, almost 2 years, I have been struggling on finding my purpose and my balance between my marriage and also taking care of my elderly mother that has dementia.
Mm.
And I'm pretty close to going and having a divorce because of, I just don't know exactly what is more important, I guess.
So you're just saying, I'm tired of everything. I'm tired of the stress. I got my parents. I got my husband. It says here, two grown daughters, so you're an empty nester at this stage. Are you feeling like you're kind of lost in this sea? And now, you know, what about Darlene kind of a thing?
Pretty much.
So it's not any big crisis. It sounds like it's just a lot of things that are building up. Is that what it is?
Yes. With my marriage, but I believe just since we've moved to New Mexico, it's been a struggle trying to find, I guess, my commitment to taking care of my mother because my father has been gone for several years.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to work both. And like I said, Dr. Compton, I'm very close to divorce, and my husband does want to file for a divorce.
How is your life going to be better if you divorce?
I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it would be better, but I feel that it's just been a heavy struggle trying to accommodate both.
Yeah.
My husband at this point has pretty much was supportive, but at this point he's turned to drinking and kind of not.
So he's burned out too.
I believe so.
Darlene, listen, you've been so honest, and I think, you know, I've shared over the years when marriages fail, generally speaking, they don't fail overnight. You know, sometimes it'll happen, something, you know, stupid will happen, but most often it's just. It's life. You're caught in the middle. You got aging parents that you love, you want to care for, but you're feeling burdened. You don't know what to do. You have a husband who's probably feeling stressed, and instead of dealing with issues, he turns to alcohol. You're feeling caught in the middle, and here you are at what I call the middle. This is the middle of life, and everything is messy in the middle. Every project in life is messy in the middle. And when you do a building project, it's exciting at the beginning, and it's nice when it's at the end, right, and it's completed, but in the middle, it's a mess. The house is a mess. It's noisy, you know, whatever. And I think that's sort of a word picture of our life. Many times in the middle, Darlene, life gets pretty messy in the middle. And I'm not there, so it's hard for me to be in your shoes, but I would give you a perspective to pray about. When we move from one spot to think, if I get a divorce, things are going to be better, you're going to bring in a whole nother layer of problems into your life, okay? And a whole nother layer of issues. There might be an immediate sense of relief, but it doesn't solve the problem. Let me just share with you what I'd encourage you to do. And then I want to send you my book, Starved for Affection, as a gift from me. And I encourage you and your husband to read it. Don't give up on this marriage. Don't give up on allowing God to do something special in your life. You guys at one point had a lot of love for each other, or you wouldn't have gotten married, I assume. You got a lot of history after 36 years. You can do this together if you do it together. Now, the drinking isn't going to help, and the discouragement's not going to help. But if you, the two of you, can stand together and get good counseling, put a plan together and start knocking off some of these things that are, you know, discouraging you and bringing you down, knowing that God has a purpose for your marriage, has a purpose for your life. He has an intention for your life. He has an intention for your marriage. I can share with you that if you the research shows if couples willing to work together and stick together when times get tough, most of them report later, hey, we made it. That was a tough time, but we're glad we made it and we stuck together. Don't give up on this marriage. Hang on, Darlene. I want to send you the book, Starved for Affection, and I want to ask you as a listener all over this country, all around this world, to pray for Darlene and her husband in New Mexico today. Would you do that? I think she represents what this whole program, what this ministry is all about, knowing that God has an intentional purpose for our life, for our marriage, for our family, and then living it every day.
When we were together, I was talking down to him, and I'm a control freak. I did not realize what it was doing to him until one day he said, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce.
Intentional love. It's the difference between marriages that succeed and marriages that fail.
I needed to make some changes because I wasn't going to change him. I needed to change me. So I tried to start building him up, complimenting him, trying to turn over more of the finances to him instead of trying to be in control. He didn't know how to take it at first. That was the hardest part, was to get through him knowing that I was serious about making those changes.
Intentional love is an irresistible force that turns small acts of love into large returns of intimacy and closeness.
He said a prayer and asked God to give us many more years together. He started making his own changes and started really building me up, and it just became more of a team rather than one against one.
Boy, you know, thank you, Rob, for playing that. That's one of the spots that we had scheduled to play today. And I think it's appropriate right after Darlene's call. Did you hear? They were down. They were struggling. And all of a sudden, she changed her mind. She changed her attitude. She changed her behavior. I am convinced in most cases, as followers of Christ, with a lot of prayer and humility, realizing that God has a purpose for our marriage, if we choose to change our attitude and behavior, things change. Intentional love is when you take small attitude and action adjustments, small. It's leverage, and it creates large returns of intimacy and closeness in marriage. I have seen it 1,000 times. Small attitude and action adjustments create large returns of intimacy and closeness in marriage.
One of the biggest things I've struggled with was making sure to take time for my wife. Never really saw that as a big deal when I was growing up because my family never took time for each other.
As parents, you just forget to nurture that primary relationship in the family.
One thing we're doing to be intentional now is we're trying to make our marriage more of a priority like it was when we first got married.
I have to put my husband first above my own needs. The Lord was just showing me it's not him, it's you. Let me work in your life.
We should intentionally emulate the examples that Christ set for us because he's the giver of love. And once we follow him, we will know how to love and be intentional about all that we do.
What I feel like I'm going to do intentionally is put my husband first in his desires and his needs, not what I want. I have to do what will better our family.
The one thing I take away from this, perseverance in my child rearing and perseverance in my marriage.
The power of one thing can change your marriage, change your life, change your relationships. We see it and hear it about marriages. We hear it in individuals' personal lives and their spiritual life. We hear the stories of people turning their health around, saying, hey, I'm going to take better care of myself. We hear the stories of people changing how they parent, how they handle their finances and work, giving God glory, doing the next right one thing. Paul says to us in Ephesians 4 through 6, before he goes into this list of all these things we're to do, he gives us refinement. He says, these are the things you got to be. Next, he says, be angry and do not sin. Isn't that an interesting verse? We've quoted that often, haven't we? Be angry and do not sin. He's speaking to the real heart of our emotions. He's saying to us, I believe, it's okay to be angry. Our emotions are real. They're given to us by God. But don't sin. How many of us get angry and sin? Anybody here? Anybody going to raise their hand? So?
Yeah, I think another question is how many of you get angry and you don't sin? Not very many hands will go up because, come on, Satan loves to camp in the areas where he finds the greatest leverage for discouragement and sin and really loss in our lives. And so the lesson this month on being before doing, based on the six chapters of the book of Ephesians, is intended to be an encouragement to you. And so again, say thanks to our members. God bless you. We appreciate your support, your prayer, standing with us. If you're not a member, come join us. We'd love to have you be on this journey. We want to encourage you, walk with you, love on you, and point you in directions that'll bring great joy in your life. How do you do it? Just give us a call during West Coast business hours. We got a great staff. I'd love to talk to you. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Press number 2. So many others have. We want to hear from you as well. We need to hear from you, thanking you in advance for it. Or anytime, just go online safe and securely at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com to support the ministry. You know, as we close the show today, just a reminder that when we talk about purpose, God has made us for a purpose. And maybe you're struggling to know what that is. Well, we know overall it's to bring pleasure to Christ, to figure out what pleases him and then do it, according to the Apostle Paul. But as you look for your specific area of where God wants to use you in service, just begin. Start reaching out. There's needs all around. Don't wait. And allow the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you in those areas of purpose in your life. I got to run. I'm Dr. Randy for Stephen, Jennifer, and the rest of the team here. God bless you. Have a great day. This is the Ministry of Intentional Life Media.